This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Good afternoon. Welcome to a Tuesday afternoon edition of the Mark Reardon Show. Just try to keep up, Ethan. That's all I'm saying. Fred's not here.
And listen, I'm not a Hall of Famer, all right? So your expectation should automatically be lower the second that he leaves the state
that's
of Michigan.
That's fair.
Right?
That's totally
How about
fair.
Old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
No, I was just saying, like, usually when I sit down here at the old console to start the show, Fred has always done this, and there's no way that I could talk him out of this. Like, I could, you might say when I tell you this story, well, just tell him not to do this. It doesn't matter. No. You know him well enough.
So he's going to give you a stack of papers.
Right. We get the, this would be called, what's this called? Like, the rundown,
yeah,
right? It's the show sheet.
Show sheet.
It's
yep.
The secret
the
to everything. So the host comes in, has no idea what's going on in the show, and then they show him the show sheet. Now, that's not exactly how it works. There's a collaborative effort, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so
mm-hmm.
What Fred does, though, is he prints. He doesn't print as much as he used to. He used to print a lot more back in the day. I mean,
like, there are, more than he does now?
Oh, my gosh. So you have no idea. Like,
wow.
The amount of trees that Fred has been responsible for removing
man
from the earth.
Should be in prison for it.
Really, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, then what happened was, and I told him, and it still didn't matter. I sit here, as you know, I sit here with my iPad every day, and I use, and I still think this is like an underused, we were talking the other day about car technology and how I feel like people underuse their technology. Same thing with your phone or your iPad. So there's something on Safari that is called Reading List. And, you know, with Reading List, if I have a story that's open from the Post-Dispatch or the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal or whatever it is, then I just press Add to Reading List. I can access that. And that's what I do during the show. But Fred knows I do that. It doesn't matter. He still prints all the articles.
So, I know, which I kind of love.
Yeah, but so that's my point. I'm not, you know, Fred, hey, you don't have to print it. Doesn't matter.
He's going to put it in a folder and bring it to
Ethan
you.
Meanwhile, Ethan doesn't print anything.
With me, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
If you ask me to, I won't. Say no, it's on the Post-Dispatch. Go find it.
There is no happy medium because, you know, now I don't have anything printed. But that's okay.
What do you want? I'll print the world for you, Mark. What do you want?
I don't need anything. I think
okay.
I'm fine.
All right.
But I wanted to just share that as we get started here. We got a lot of stuff going on this afternoon. We'll have Charles Lipson, our friend from the University of Chicago, joining us in the first segment here at 3:18. You know, some of the media coverage of what's going on with this Ukrainian immigrant, Irina Zarutska, that really picked up today. I didn't talk about that a lot yesterday. It is certainly something that's getting a lot of attention this afternoon. We'll have, you know how we love Sue. We love 48 Hours and Dateline.
Oh, yeah, Dateline.
And the cold cases, like people are fascinated by the cold cases, right? And, you know, when you solve, a lot of these things have been solved by DNA that wasn't really, the technology wasn't in existence 40 years ago. So I don't know if you heard about this. There was a piece that was in the Post-Dispatch, and Chief Fitch who is a regular on the roundtable, former St. Louis County Police Chief. Of course, he is also a former St. Louis County Councilman. He does consulting work around, you know, the globe, literally around the globe. So they had a news conference yesterday, and Melissa Price Smith is the new St. Louis County prosecutor, right? She replaced Wesley Bell when Wesley went to Congress. And I don't know a whole lot about this collaboration, but Melissa, who's going to join us, I think, Ethan, we have her set up for tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow at 3:30.
And she's going to come in studio. So what they're doing is they're reopening a cold case homicide from 1980 that occurred at a Dairy Queen not too far from where I lived at the time. This was at 15850 Clayton Road in Ellisville. So I think it was like closer to Clayton and Clarkson. And it says that April 24th, 1980, and I don't remember this case, okay? I was here living in St. Louis at the time. This was my first spring in St. Louis because we moved here in 1979. So it said on April 24th, 1980, police responded to a call just after 7 a.m. from the then owner of Dairy Queen, who reported finding the night manager deceased. Responding Ellisville officers determined that the victim was Margaret Marge Marie Walsh, age 47, of Baldwin. The victim had been shot, and this happened in the office area of the store that was ransacked. A small sum of money was missing, and then it says she left behind three children, ages 16, 18, and 21. So in the news release for this, you know, they're reopening this as a cold case. They say that the St. Louis Area Major Case Squad was immediately called in at that time, and they had numerous leads, but they didn't make an arrest on that. So I don't know if there is new information that's come forward or if they're just making an effort to go back and, you know, find out if we can find new information about this. But we'll find that out from Chief Fitch, who will be joining us after 5 o'clock this afternoon. So I went and saw Laura Trump last night.
How was that?
I thought she was great. I really did. I'm a fan of hers. I've been a fan of hers since the first administration. You know, she was kind of the co-chair of the RNC last year. She was part of the Make Missouri Pro-Life Again event last night at the St. Charles Convention Center. Congressman Bob Onder was honored as, I think it was more or less a Lifetime Achievement Award. He was not there. His wife accepted for him. He's busy in Washington, and he will join us in just a little bit at 4:30 to talk about last night and, you know, what's going on in Washington. Now, I don't know how many people know this, and this gets confusing, I think, for voters, Sue, but what's going to happen is next year, and we covered this in the spring, but, you know, the spring was several months ago, there's going to be another Amendment 3 next year.
All what? Right? Okay.
So Amendment 3 was the, you know, the pro-choice ballot amendment from last fall, which cleared and basically made abortion on demand legal here in Missouri. So what Republicans did, and some of this makes me just a little uncomfortable because, you know, then it gives the left an opportunity to say, see what you're doing here is you're undoing the will of the voters. But they went in and they crafted legislation to kick it back to the voters next year, probably August of next year, which has language in there that is very different than...
I was going to say, wasn't the verbiage a little confusing of the first round or not?
Yeah, I think so. And but I think what happened was is the beyond the confusion, there was a lot of concern that it really did, you know, allow abortion all the way up to till birth. Now, the left wants to deny that. So what they went in and did is they created a compromise. So the compromise, because a lot of people, and I get this, would say, wait a second, you're not allowing for any exceptions for, you know, if you're pro-life, you don't even want to give an inch and you won't say exceptions for rape and incest, which to many people that seems unreasonable. And when they went in to craft the new bill and they came up with language, again, that people will vote on next year, they included an exception for rape and incest. And it was even stated last night at the event, you know, we didn't really want to do that, but, you know, we felt like we had to because of the way where we are with the whole issue. So we'll talk with Bob about that a little bit in the next hour. Let me talk a little bit here about Ariana Zarudzka. And Sue, I don't know if you have you seen the video of this? It's awful.
No.
So this young woman, blonde, blue-eyed woman, she's from Ukraine. She actually, this is the great irony. I heard Trey Gowdy talk about this a little earlier. She survives Vladimir Putin. She comes to Charlotte, North Carolina, and there is this degenerate who is on, you know, some of this, Ethan, you've seen some of this. There's all kinds of angles from videos outside of this light rail car inside. And what you see is Ariana walks to her seat, comes on the train with this other guy. And he's in a hoodie behind her, you can see him holding the knife on one of the videos where he walks into the train, all right? So you see the knife.
Oh, jeez.
Now that you know it's a knife. And he literally gets up and just stabs her in the throat. Stabs her in the throat. And in the videos that we were watching, you don't see a reaction from the people that are sitting around her. Now, that might be because they just didn't know.
This happened so fast.
Wow.
He's sitting down, and in 2 seconds, he's walking away. If that, I mean, he stands up. He hits her quickly. And
she doesn't even know what happened.
She looks very startled.
Right.
But she's just sitting there, very crouched up.
And then she starts bleeding out.
And then she begins bleeding
out. And then what we know is that there's another guy, and this is a white girl. There's a young African-American guy. They're trying to find him right now because he did everything he could to try to save her. He took his shirt off and wrapped it around her. And, I mean, some of this is so disgusting because, Ethan, I don't know if you've seen these videos. When they put the videos together from different angles, you can see this guy walking out of the train, and there's just blood dripping from the knife, and you see some people pointing down. Well, the reason that this has become, there's several reasons this has become a national story. Well, let me get to this first, and then I'll come back and tell you. But this is Carolyn Leavitt talked about this today. President Trump had something to say about this. This picked up a lot of steam over the weekend, and the way the story is being covered is part of the story now. But here's Carolyn going on about this morning, just a couple hours ago.
Today, I would like to address the tragedy that has not received nearly enough media attention, the brutal murder of Irina Zarudska. Here are the facts that many outlets have shamefully and intentionally failed to report until President Trump drew attention to it. On August 22nd, Irina Zarudska was stabbed to death on the rail system in Charlotte, North Carolina, by a savage career criminal. This is a public transportation system that many in the area use every single day to go to school and work. Irina was on the train that night traveling home from her job at a pizzeria, still in uniform from her shift. This beautiful, innocent 23-year-old young woman was a Ukrainian refugee who had recently fled her country for a chance at a safer life and a promising new beginning here in the United States of America.
How about that? So then you get to, and so this should be somewhat relatable to us here in St. Louis from a very sad perspective. And let me explain that a little bit. DeCarlos Brown Jr. is the guy that was arrested here. And let me give you a couple of facts on him. Here's Carolyn.
The most enraging and unacceptable part of this story is that her death was entirely preventable. DeCarlos Brown never should have been on that train that night. In fact, he should have been behind bars. DeCarlos Brown has been charged with crimes no fewer than 14 times, dating back to 2011, including for armed robbery, felony larceny, breaking and entering, and shoplifting.
It goes on, and here's what this reminded me. Does it remind you of anything here in St. Louis? Daniel Riley, the guy who took the legs literally off of Janae Edmondson's body several years ago? Because here's the similarity. Now, that guy wasn't arrested 14 times. This is even more, you know, egregious. But Daniel Riley should not have been out. We know that. Now, he's going to be in prison for a long time, hopefully up to 20 years. In this guy's case, DeCarlos Brown, Sue, if you haven't seen the montage of the pictures, there are literally 14 mugshot pictures that have been, you know, montaged together because this guy was arrested so much. He was arrested in January and he was let go almost immediately with no cash bail.
I was going to ask you if that was an issue.
So, no, he needs a social worker, this poor guy, right? He doesn't need any kind of police or any kind of criminal investigation. No, he just needs a social worker. So one of the angles of this, and this is where it kind of gets to the coverage, is outside of right-wing media, conservative media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, you name it, they were dead silent on this over the weekend.
Jeez.
Most shamefully of all, the majority of the media, many outlets in this room, decided that her murder was not worth reporting on originally because it does not fit a preferred narrative.
So then what they do is, and here's Brian Stelter on CNN, they're not covering the story. They're not covering the brutal stabbing of this young woman. They're covering the way the story is being covered and handled by right-wing media. And they're making an allegation. Mark Caputo, who writes for Axios, who's a longtime political reporter, they make this allegation that the right's just doing this to gin up, you know, an effort to crack down on crime, which, by the way, is that a bad thing? Is that really a bad thing? Here's Brian Stelter talking about this.
Most murders in the U.S. never become national news. This one's garnered attention for a couple of reasons. Number one, first and foremost, the recent release of that gruesome video. Second, the energy from pro-Trump activists. They picked up on this video from local news and ran with it. It's a little bit like the times when civil rights groups have raised attention about police-involved shootings. In this case, it is Trump-aligned influencers who are posting up a storm about this case on social media.
Okay, now he wants to compare this like to Mike Brown and George Floyd and stuff like that. Here's the difference. There's no doubt that this is a violent crime, and we know exactly who's responsible for it because it was caught on video. This is not a questionable thing that happens where you have witnesses that come out of the woodwork and claim things like hands up, don't shoot, and we know what happened to Dorian Johnson over the weekend. Completely different scenario. But again, Brian's more concerned here about what is happening in the rest of the media.
It's being used, as you said, Brianna, as a political symbol, with MAGA media calling for more forceful punishments and more incarceration. I have to say, some of the replies to Musk, some of the comments around this story are baldly racist.
Okay, so again, there's Brian Stelter more concerned about racism. Believe me, if a white cop was involved here, they'd be running with this all day. It is unreal the way that they can shift a narrative from something as horrific as this to this young woman to now pointing the fingers somehow at conservative media. Congratulations. Nice job.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Bill O'Reilly on the show tomorrow afternoon. Also, we mentioned the new St. Louis County prosecutor. I mean, she's been doing this for a while now. Melissa Price-Smith will join us in the studio. Charles Lipson, one of our favorite political guests, professor emeritus at the University of Chicago, back with us this afternoon. You can read his writings at charleslipson.com. Charles, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. We have a great afternoon here in Chicago. What's it like in St. Louis?
Beautiful. It's actually beautiful. Tomorrow we're supposed to get back into the 90s, right, Sue? But for now, it's really, really unseasonable.
Gorgeous.
And we love it. Yeah, we had a great end of August. My mom and dad are up there in Chicago. I've been communicating with them. I know that you guys have had a nice stretch. We're ready for fall. Although, you know, in Chicago, when we're in the upper 60s, which is pretty comfortable, you're like in the 40s still, I think, for the most part.
Don't rub it in, man. Don't rub it in.
Hey, I want to start here, despite you being at the University of Chicago, let's move up the lakefront a little bit to Evanston, Illinois. Not too far from where I grew up, Charles in Morton Grove, Niles in Park Ridge, and that's where Northwestern University is. And this doesn't focus on Northwestern, but this is the mayor of Evanston, Illinois, where Northwestern is. David Biss is his name, and he's talking about being a sanctuary campus, if you will.
But the reason that we communicated with our residents this morning is that I got information from a senior state official last night indicating that they had good intel that they thought it was likely that ICE would be coming to Evanston today and in the coming days. And we just felt that we had a responsibility to let our residents know so they could work to protect themselves. We've been doing everything we can to protect our residents from before Donald Trump took office, passing strong sanctuary laws to make sure our police are not cooperating with federal civil immigration enforcement, protecting our data, switching off our license plate cameras when we learned that that data was being shared. But we also need to make sure our residents know as much as possible so they can take the steps they need to protect themselves.
Residents is an interesting use of the word there, isn't it? Because he doesn't seem to be talking about residents. He seems to be talking about illegal residents, which those on the left have a very difficult time discerning between the two. But there again, we have a mayor, not of a big city, but of a city that's very adjacent to a big city, saying, you know what, we're not going to help the government, you know, take down some criminals that might be here illegally. We're going to look out for them, the criminals.
You know, I've been thinking about this whole immigration issue and thinking that Donald Trump has a special superpower that not everybody has recognized. And that superpower is that he not only can figure out popular issues on which he can take the 80% side of an 80-20 or 90% side of a 90-10 issue, but he can get all the people on the other side to lock in to the 10% side. And the hard, it's like a Chinese finger puzzle. The harder Trump pulls, the more they're locked in. And that's exactly what you see. It's rich to see him say that he's protecting the residents of the city. The amount of criminal activity that's come in through illegals is just enormous. I will say one thing that I agree with Mayor Biss about, which is it is not obligatory for local police to cooperate with the federal government on this. It only becomes a crime when they begin to impede. And they're clearly on the edge of that when they turn off cameras and things like that. But they are within their rights, their legal rights, to let these people out on the streets. But what you're seeing in Chicago is that when ICE is arresting these people, they're arresting pedophiles, career criminals, all the rest.
Well, and I have some interesting audio from Mika Brzezinski at MSNBC that kind of correlates and ties in to that, because here again, what happens is you have all these examples. We had one, a real-life example from a few weeks ago. You and I might have even talked about it, where there was a reporter in D.C. from Channel 4. I can't remember which affiliate that is in D.C. And she was doing a story and then happened to catch on video this guy that's screaming for his life. ICE is taking him into, you know, custody, and he's not done anything wrong. He's just like the Maryland father. Come to find out, he's got felony charges, including, you know, abusing someone under the age of 13 years old. So they keep looking for their poster child on this stuff, which is what Mayor Biss and others are talking about. But whenever you kind of dig deeper into the people who are being arrested, you find out the truth, and the truth doesn't play well for the left.
That's exactly right. I mean, there are people who've been in the country illegally for many, many years, committed no crimes other than coming into the country illegally. But the initial focus really been trying to get the worst of the worst out. And where are those people? They're often in local jails. And the fact that in blue cities, and certainly in blue states, they won't let them go into the jails to take those people out safely, imperils the community, leads to other people being arrested, because when they go out into a house where that one, where they find that criminal, they're going to arrest everybody else in the house if those people are here illegally. So it's just an awful situation, but it's also a situation that the American public, I think, really understands this will increase safety. I should say that it's not only illegals that are committing these crimes. This story about the stabbing on the Charlotte,
I just talked
North
about
Carolina
that.
Train.
Right.
That guy was not illegal, but we have these no bail, no cash bail policies. We have people who are career criminals let out time after time after time.
Yeah.
And we have people who are clearly mentally ill let out on the streets. And, I mean, public safety is the number one obligation of our government. We want it to be done within the law. We want it to be done according to democratic lawmaking. But we want safety. I don't have to tell people who knew about what happened in Ferguson about that.
Right. Well, and we've got multiple cases from here. But here's the other thing about that case, and I just kind of spent some time on it during the monologue. So part of the angles of that case, and the video just came out, the crime took place, I think, on August 22nd. So the video comes out, and a lot of people jump on it for obvious reasons. It's horrific, and you're cutting it off before the actual stabbing, but it doesn't matter. You can see what happened in the aftermath, and it's terrible. But then the media decides they're not going to really cover that story until they want to cover it, but they don't want to cover the crime aspect. They don't want to talk about, you know, the guy that had 14 mugshots. They want to talk about MAGA and how right-wing conservative media is talking about that story and how they're trying to gin up all this anti-crime sentiment as if that's some sort of bad thing and something we should be ashamed of to focus on public safety. It's really quite something when you think through it, Charles.
I'm in total agreement with you. Sometimes I feel like the mainstream media covers this story, meaning that they cover it with a pillow until it stops breathing. And that was the case here. The mainstream media completely ignored it. So did city officials in Charlotte. They refused to speak about it. And now the Trump administration has jumped on it because they have a very good sense that this is not an issue that Democrats want to defend. It was their public policies that allowed this to happen. It was their judges. And the fact that this woman was a refugee from a war zone.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, it becomes a racial crime because of what the guy said as he left the car.
Oh, I don't know about that. What did he say?
He made it clear that he had stabbed her because she was a white woman.
Oh, you know what? I didn't hear about that nugget. That's very interesting. Well, that's a hate crime, right? That should be talked about as a hate crime, but it's not going to be.
And the mayor
of Charlotte goes out there and basically starts talking about mental health, doesn't offer any empathy or sympathy to the victim, but to the career criminal, which was
absolutely
a nice touch.
No. And there are dangers in involuntary commitments because, given the kind of government that we fear, you could have governments trying to commit you for other things. I mean, look, we have in England now people being arrested for flying the flag, flying their national flag.
In Ireland, it's unbelievable. It really is. You know, that was a story I didn't cover last week. But yeah, it was deemed hateful because they were flying their actual flag of their country outside of their homes. And it was deemed hateful to immigrants. And they didn't want them to take it the wrong way.
And yesterday, a guy was arrested for reading the Bible in public. So this is there is a real problem of a state overreach. Now, they would say somehow. And by the way, what was the rationale for for arresting the guy who read the Bible? Someone had been made anxious by it. If that's the criteria, I mean, you know, Good Lord, how could you teach a class?
It's horrific. And, you know, I know that you wrote a column recently about Graham Linehan and Nigel Farage testifying last week. I covered that quite a bit on the show. It's horrifying. People need to know about what's happening across the pond. And I really can't believe it's happening in the UK. But we have example after example. Charles
in
Lipson.
In Canada.
Yeah, in Canada, too.
A lot of it happened in Canada as well.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me as much, maybe. But, we, you know, whether it's New Zealand or Australia during COVID or some of the things they did in England, I mean, some of this stuff is still shocking to those of us who feel like other democracies have a fair amount of freedom, but apparently not these days. Charles, always great to have you on. You can find more at charleslipson.com. You have a great week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Really is something, the way that the legacy media is refusing to cover this Arianna Zaritska story, the stabbing on this light rail car in Charlotte. But again, what's even more stunning is that they're not, now that they're onto the story, because Trump's been highlighting it and some of us have been highlighting it, they're covering the way that the story is being covered by Fox and other media, how it's being handled by right-wing media. And so you have Brian Stelter out there on CNN making this comparison to, like, when, you know, something happens like George Floyd or Mike Brown, and he says this.
In this case, it is Trump-aligned influencers who are posting up a storm about this case on social media. Really, over the weekend, Elon Musk, Charlie Kirk, other Trump-aligned figures succeeded in making this senseless death a symbol of big city crime. We heard President Trump asked about it yesterday when he was heading home from New York City. He didn't seem to know much about it. He said he would get briefed, and then today, Trump did know all about it. That's exactly what has happened here. This story has trickled up from local news to social media and now to the president's attention.
Okay, well, maybe it should. Curtis Haukes here, managing editor of Newsbusters at the Media Research Center. Isn't the reaction to the way that the story is being covered fascinating here, Curtis? Stelter and the rest of them? Every time they, I think I'm shocked by the legacy media and how they behave to a story, along comes another one where you just have to scratch your head.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, you know, a couple things about this. Number one, friend Leland Vittert on News Nation last night said this in his monologue. People making a big deal out of something like this means they care.
Yeah.
How about that?
You know,
like that there's not some racist ulterior motive. That there, people identify a problem, and people, that's how, you know, to talk about the civil rights movement or whatever. Like he says, this is how change happens. This is how change has happened in our country. People are mad about something that's wrong in society, and then they want to do something about it. Okay, so that's number one. Number two,
but along these lines, in this case, there's two things: a brutal murder where a woman, a young woman, is stabbed on a light rail car, but the fact that the guy who did the crime has been arrested 14 times and released even as recently as this January with cashless bail. So there's a couple of angles, but go ahead, continue. I know you had more to say.
No. My second point was just that, I mean, I'm so glad I get to talk to you today about this, because more than probably anyone else that you meet with, you and I understand and have compassion for people who are open and honest and struggle with their mental health.
That's right.
That is not what's going on here. You reach a point where someone has been arrested 14 times. He has been committed. He had been committed before. There was no attempt to really try and solve this. And instead, we have CBS News, their third hour of their morning show, CBS Mornings Plus, had a segment with a former NYPD official and someone, a police official on Long Island, and a KFF Health News person who was their medical contributor for CBS, argue that no, the story here is that the suspect here was failed by society. Not that the woman died.
Yeah.
She was failed by society because we didn't spend enough money to help this guy. We didn't get him into a group home. We didn't get him a job. We didn't like talk to him nicely about like, please don't do this again. Please don't be a creep. No. That's the argument that we're hearing from some quarters of the media. And it's disgusting. It's pathetic. You know, it's good politically for Republicans and President Trump to have the left do this, but it is not good for society to have one side of the aisle that is this far unhinged from basic reality.
I just can't believe that we can't get together on a couple of simple things, like a brutal murder of a young woman on a light rail car where a guy's been arrested 14 times. And you see this montage of all his mugshots. And who isn't going to be offended by that? We had a terrible case here in St. Louis where there was a guy named Daniel Riley who should have been behind bars. Now, it wasn't as egregious as this from the standpoint that he didn't have as many charges, but he ended up taking, literally having an accident downtown St. Louis, which took the legs of this young girl from Nashville who was here for a volleyball tournament. Her name was Janae Edmondson, and that was the crime, because you'll know the tie-in here, Curtis. That was what eventually led to more of a microscope on Kim Gardner, our former circuit attorney, and finally got her booted out of office. But it took something like that for a young woman to lose her legs for the rest of her life.
Exactly. And that's really the issue that we have here, that we're saying we've decided as a society that we've decided the powers that be, these no cash bail, these pro criminal DAs, they've decided that, you know, the only time they're actually going to do something is when they've been thoroughly embarrassed and a young person or just any human's life was prematurely altered permanently or ended. I mean, it is disgusting. And it's a sad commentary about we as a society that unfortunately, for those that can stomach it, the full video was released in a few places today. But the takeaway from that part is how so few people did anything about it. Now, some might say, oh, this is a Neely Penny issue like in New York. No. This is well after the guy walked away.
I'm confused by it, because there's a couple of people sitting around and they just act like nothing happened, which I don't know if they missed something. And then there is finally somebody, but it takes more than a minute for someone to come to her rescue as she's literally bleeding out.
Right. So it's not like you just, you know, and she's screaming. So it's not like this was a kind of somebody used a silencer or whatever, you know, and somebody just fell over point blank and there wasn't blood anywhere. And it was just, it's scary and it's pathetic commentary that this is where we are, that no, it's mental health and it's government spending. We need to spend more money on the problem. It's incredible to me that all these years later that they are trying to do this and also frame it as a race issue. That was the other thing that Stelter and the crew have been doing, trying to argue that this was a race issue. And Abby Phillip on CNN Thunderdome last night tried to say people get murdered all the time in America, every day in America. It's just that this one getting a lot of attention. It's just like, oh, people
she
get
did
murdered.
Not say
people
it. Get, I guess that shouldn't surprise me that she said that, but good Lord.
People get, it's the same argument that they use against President Trump taking action in Washington, D.C. and other U.S. cities, or these plans to, which is, oh, people get mugged every day. You know, like this somehow a price to pay for living in a society.
That's what J.B. Pritzker said, walking along Lake Michigan with his fat belly hanging out, you know, talking to someone from CBS News last week. All right, speaking of CBS, I have to get your opinion here. Curtis Houck is the managing editor of Newsbusters. There's more than just some strong rumors out there that there's going to be an acquisition of Barry Weiss's Free Press, the FP.com, an outstanding source of real journalism. And not only will there be an acquisition by Paramount, but that Barry Weiss, who left the New York Times in a very public fashion to start the FP, might be in charge of the CBS News division, which would be potentially a blockbuster story in the world of media, Curtis.
Yeah, I would say first thing, this is all, again, just like Elon Musk getting upset about the Babylon Bee being banned. That's why he bought Twitter and where we are. If only the New York Times hadn't had a collective freak out in its staff over a few people deciding to publish the Tom Cotton op-ed, we wouldn't be where we are right now. But Barry Weiss, she's not a conservative.
No.
Let's just make that clear. But she is a moderate. She's actually someone who, when people say they're free thinkers and they're independent thinkers, they consider all sides. She's one of the few people that you can actually say you genuinely believe that they consider everything. And so she would bring a much needed change to CBS News. We saw this with the Ta-Nehisi Coates, Tony DeCoppel thing. She talked about that, ironically, looking at CBS, just wondering what is going on. Well, now she's going to get a look under the hood. And this part is official. CBS has hired the former head of the conservative Hudson Institute think tank to be their ombudsman.
Ooh.
And he deleted a tweet yesterday along with his entire account praising Tony DeCoppel for asking Ta-Nehisi Coates a series of tough questions. And his tweet, in essence, I don't have it in front of me, but the essence of it was, has Tony DeCoppel saved CBS's news's legitimacy? And of course, he deleted that along with his entire account. So that's what where he's coming into with this. And all the right people are freaking out. We're just simply asking for balance. We're not asking for them to become a Fox News on a broadcast network. We're just asking for some real balance and lack of partisan hackery on this network.
Yeah, if you and I go to the Free Press every day, there is plenty of criticism that is leveled at this administration and this president by the reporters at the FP. But they do it, I think, in a balanced and fair way. And they expose things that are going on out there that nobody else is covering. That's the thing. They go into great detail and they do some actual reporting that does not seem to be agenda driven, which is, I think, what we're looking for. Look, I've said this to you before, and this maybe reminds me of the closest situation we potentially could have to Tim Russert. I still miss him every Sunday. It was must see TV on Meet the Press, but there's no one out there really kind of doing what Tim Russert used to do outside of maybe Barry and the team at the Free Press.
Yeah, I was going to say, including my friend Gabe Kaminsky. He's one of our 2025 MRC Bulldog Award winners for his work at the Free Press and the Examiner. So, I mean, I think that's just crazy to me that somebody I know like this would be a CBS News journalist, ostensibly. But the point is, they make you think, Mark, when you read their stories. And isn't that to help us become smarter and make us think and consider this or that? Isn't that really the goal of journalism at the end of the day,
I think, in part? Yeah, that's why I'm a fan of the Free Press, and boy, I could not be rooting harder for this to actually happen and to see if there would be transformative change at CBS News, because someone has to go out there. CNN, I said this yesterday, they had an opportunity to not do Abby Phillip and her blah, blah, blah. They could have given Jennings a show and said, all right, we're going to try something really different here instead of just having him on the panel. And I think that would have been interesting, and I bet it would have had better ratings than they're getting right now at CNN. I don't think you'd disagree with that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All the views come on social media.
Maybe
they'd actually get Nielsen ratings if Jennings had a show. I'll just say CBS News, there are people in the network that are worth keeping and building around. Tony DeCoppel, Jan Crawford, Kelly O'Grady. There's a few others there. They should rehire Jeff Glor while they're at it. You know, and if a lot of people leave, that would be a big headline that all these people have quit. So what?
Yeah, the only person I'd say keep out of there is Jeff Begays, because he did us no favors here in St. Louis. Let me tell you, that guy was embarrassing.
Rehire Catherine Herridge, you know?
Yes.
That was one of the things that did him in. Apparently, he would dress down Catherine Herridge in the D.C. Bureau, and she reported him, and more or less, he ended up getting the boot, but so did she.
Yeah, and she was one of the better reporters out there. Curtis, thank you so much, as usual. Have a great week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.